A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Barachas Lamed Hey, Barachas 35a, pagination page 69. We have the privilege of starting probably the most famous perek in Barachas, the perek that deals with blessings before food. And the Mishnah begins from the top of the page. Ketzad mevarchim al haperos. How do you recite blessings on fruit, literally? Al peros ha'ilon, on fruit of a tree, hu omer bere priyo eitz. You say a bracha, that he created the fruit of the tree. Chutz min hayayin, except for wine, which is a derivative of a tree, effectively, a vine that stays from year to year, is going to be considered a tree. But on wine, alayayinu omer beri pri hagefen, it gets its own bracha, as we know, grape juice wine, fruit of the vine. It's considered a significant upgrade, and it gets its own unique bracha. Valperes ha'aretz, on fruit of the ground, hu omer beri pri hu adama. Blessed is Hashem that created fruit of the ground. Chutz min apas, except for bread, that you make a special bracha. Again, it's really coming from the ground. It's not a tree. It's growing like a vegetable that has to be replanted year to year based on seeds. And because it's past, because it's bread, it gets an upgrade. The Mishnah doesn't mention mizonos, but the same concept with mizonos, a unique bracha, because it's one of the five grains. And if it's made into bread, Hamotzi lechem in ha'aretz, that's what's being described. Vala yirakos hu omer, bore pri hu adama, and on vegetables, bore pri hu adama. Mishnah continues that Rabbi Yehuda identifies and itemizes brachas even more detailed, but that's the way we end off, that all vegetables are going to be bore pri hu adama. Doesn't mean if they're matter if they're beans or vegetables or whatever, they're all bore pri hu adama. Now, implied in the concept of brachas is a very powerful concept that the Jew understands that when Hashem created apples or whatever food we're talking about and developed them and nurtured them and made sure they'd still be around today, so from the beginning of creation he had me in mind. There is nothing more, we talk about self-esteem, there's nothing more self-esteem than to bite into an apple after having made a bracha that said, Hashem, who owns this universe, look up at the sky, it's a pretty big house he created here. He's pretty vast and pretty important. And I make a bracha before I take it because he had me in mind too. And that's a very important principle in brachas. Now, the origin of brachas, which is the focus of this first page of the perek, is that the after bracha, the bracha acharona, or benching as we call it, is based on a clear biblical pasuk that says, V'achalta v'savata uveirachta, a pasuk in Parshas Ekev, Rashi mentions it here, that you should eat, you should be satisfied, and you should make a bracha. The question, however, is, what happens if I'm not satisfied? Pasuk only talked about if you had a good meal. What happened if you had a quick snack? Also, what happens to different foods? The food mentioned in the Torah is referring to bread. According to some opinions, it's referring to the different items that Eretz Yisrael is praised for, which is in the Pasuk right before that Pasuk. So there's a juxtaposition there. What happens if I have candy? Is there an after bracha? And the next question is, and what about a before bracha? Is that extrapolated from the after bracha? If you have to make a bracha after you're satisfied, do you have to make a bracha before? Because you're certainly yearning and appreciative while you're hungry. Makes sense to make a bracha. Whatever it is, we can work on all kinds of logic and try to extrapolate. But that's the biblical is the after bracha when you're satisfied, and specifically by bread, and perhaps according to some to extend it to other things. The Gemara, if you'll drop down towards the bottom of the page, six lines from the very bottom at the end of a line. The Gemara is dealing with what about eggs and fish, in other words, things that aren't mentioned in that pasuk. And the Gemara maintains, Ela Sevarahu, it's logical. It's forbidden to benefit from this world without a bracha. What's the Sevara? What's the logic? The logic is that if you believe that this is Hashem's world, you don't take things from His table without saying thank you. If you were in someone's house and there was a big buffet, you first say mazel tov to him, you first say hello, you first say thank you for your hospitality, and then you have a right to eat. You've been invited. Hashem invited you to His house. But first you have to say thank you. Now, the Gemara develops this principle very clearly, starting from where we're up to there, five lines up, on Lamed Hei Amid Beis 35a, at the two dots. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned. Also, la'odam, it is forbidden for a person sheyanim in a olam hazeh b'lo bracha to benefit from this world without a bracha. B'chalanenim in a olam hazeh b'lo bracha mo'al, and anybody who benefits from this world without a bracha is as if he stole from the Beis Hamikdash. We're using an analogy. You wouldn't take from Hashem's holy temple. Well, the whole world is Hashem's holy temple, and He's inviting you into it. Ma'itakante, what should you do? You're in trouble. This is serious. So the Gemara says, Yelechetz al Chacham, you should go to a wise man. You should go to a person who's accomplished in Torah, and he'll save you. Asks the Gemara, Yelechetz al Chacham, I'll go to the wise man. My Avidle, what's he going to do for me? Avidle Yisura, I already did the prohibition. I ate an apple without saying a bracha. Ela Amar Rava, Rava says, you didn't understand what we told you. Yelechetz al Chacham me'ikara. Go to the wise man to begin with. For Yilam Denu Brachas, he'll teach you the laws of Brachas, Kadesh la Yavel de Me'ila, so that you don't come to Me'ila. In other words, very clear that the intent here was not that Huji Buji, the wise man, is going to take off your sin. It's preventative. Go to him so that you don't fall into this terrible trap of benefiting without permission. Last two lines on the page, Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, Kol Anenu Min HaOlam HaZeh B'lo Bracha Ki Ilu Nena Mikedshei Shamayim. It's as if you benefited from the holy things of the Beis HaMikdash. Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says, LaHashem HaOretz U'Melo'a, Hashem owns the world and its contents. And there's some people that actually write those words on their Sfarim, on their things. They write, LaHashem HaOretz U'Melo'a, as a reminder, Hashem owns the world. Okay, let's go to the next line and we develop that thought. Rablevi Rami. Rablevi asked a contradiction. Ksiv, there is one pasuk that says, Lashem ha'aretz ha'maloa, to Hashem is the world and its contents. Uksiv, and on the other hand it says, Hashemayim shemayim Lashem, the heavens belong to Hashem. But v'ha'aretz nasan levnei adam, but the earth was given to mankind. So which one is it? Is the world and its contents Hashem's, or is the earth given to mankind? Lo kasha, and he answered, it's not a kasha, it's not a question. Kan kodem bracha, this pasuk is referring to before you make the bracha. Kan la'achar bracha, this is after you make a bracha. You ask permission. Hashem is a generous host, but just be a mensch. Amr Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, top of the next page. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa said, "Kol anenu min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. If a person benefits from this world without a bracha, ki ilu gozel la Hakadosh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael, he's a thief from Hashem and from the Jewish people." Now, obviously, this is not merely reiterating what happened until now—that you're taking without permission, so you're a thief. Because suddenly we're adding in the Jewish people are suffering too from that behavior. What we're referring to over here is that Hashem gives generously, but if people don't say thank you, then those conduits of blessing can dry up, Rahman al-Itzlan. Just like in a regular relationship, imagine you gave your kid a fancy bike, and he would take it for granted, he wouldn't say thank you. Then you give him whatever food he needs, clothing he needs, everything, never a thank you. The way of the world is that eventually the conduits of blessing are going to dry up. Otherwise it's abuse. Because there's supposed to be an expression of appreciation. And that's what fuels the circle. If the return trip doesn't contain the thank you, then you're not fueling the relationship. And Hashem can start withdrawing blessing. And therefore you're a thief. You stole from Hashem the thank you that was coming to him. And you're stealing from the Jewish people the continuation of blessing which you can influence by reciting a bracha.
Are you talking about reciting the bracha with a kavana, or...
We're going to keep it simple. Reciting the bracha. Obviously, with kavana is going to make it stronger. And you're correct that when we enter kabbalistically here, it's talking about with kavana, with strong intent, you recite the bracha, you make a difference in this world. The Gemara continues, and we'll just say it outside, and compares a person who does not recite a bracha, he's as evil as Yeravam ben Nevat. Now, it's an odd comparison. Where does Yeravam ben Nevat come from here? Yeravam ben Nevat was a person who split the Jewish kingdom. He left the Davidic dynasty, he made his own kingdom, and in order to make sure that people wouldn't revert, go to the Beis HaMikdash and recognize the Jewish monarchy and instead have his own monarchy, he introduced a degree of idol worship. They made calves similar to the golden calf as an intermediary. He claimed he's still worshiping God, but with Avodah Zarah, with whatever. He created a different type of worship. What does the person who does not recite a bracha have to do with Yeravam ben Nevat? How bad? So Rashi says he's very bad because other people start seeing and they also don't recite brachas. But on a sophisticated level here, if we follow what we just said, the power of a bracha, Yeravam ben Nevat wasn't just anybody, a rebel. Yeravam ben Nevat was the highest of the high. He sat with Achiah HaShiloni, the great Navi, and they were talking Maisa Merkava, Hashem's heavenly chariot. And then, because of his ego, he walked off and started his own kingdom. What we're saying here is that the ordinary Jew has the power to accomplish good or bad, just like Yeravam ben Nevat. You don't have to have his level of scholarship, you don't have to have his ego. You could be building or destroying, and this is how the Nefesh HaChaim understands the power of a bracha. Yashar Koach, have a wonderful day.